Oh, good morning, everybody. Well, there was somebody on the laptop who isn't there at the moment who's making remarks about me being hairy. Can you believe that? But actually, I will have you know that I am named after the hairiest man in the Bible, Samson. Nobody in Israel used to call me Brian. Well, a few people did, but most people called me Shimshon. And he was the hairiest man in the Bible. So, and as you know, I also, as well as being named after Samson, I was also on his kibbutz, Sorah, which is over the valley you've got Beth Shemesh, which is also mentioned in the Bible. And just along a bit to sort of further west, there's another bump on the hill called it's a monastery called Bet Jamal, and on another bump just next to that, there's another bump which is with some stone houses on it, and that was what used to house the workers, the Arab workers from the monastery. And in 1948, as you know, there was a war between, you know, a great big war in the area. And at one point in the war, all the Arabs in the area ran away, including the workers from the monastery. They all ran away. So what was left was a series of stone houses. And for quite a few years, they housed sheep and goats, and all the Bedouin took them over. And they're very useful for sheep and goats. Now, in the mid-70s, it was about 30 years later, after 1978, they were taken over by a Jewish Benedictine monk called Father Isaac Jacob. Now, that's quite a story in itself. And he started a small settlement there. And for a short time, I joined him. And I had my bed, but normally, I used to sleep on the roof. It's partly as a guard to the place. But I used to sleep on the roof. I'd have my sleeping bag up. It was quite nice out there. The stars were out and everything. And it was also where a lot of Israeli troops used to come, and they'd do their manoeuvres and exercises around there. And when they came through the settlement, they were always lost. And they would sort of say, where are we, you know? So I'd sort of wake up and I'd say, you're supposed to go down that way, you know. So I'd sort of point them direction they should have been going in the first place. But the point of this is that I would sometimes, in the hottest time of the year, I would sometimes wake up in the morning and I was absolutely soaked from the dew that fell during the night. Absolutely soaked. And if you want to go forward another 30 years, I suppose, practically, just about the time of the war with Hezbollah in Lebanon, I was down in the central Negev desert, a place called Stebokir. You know, in the 70s I'd been a volunteer on the kibbutz there, but this was another Stebokir. It was a Stebokir university a little bit further south. And anyway, I was there for a few months. And at that time, I sometimes worked with a guy. You've all seen the film The Horse Whisperer, I think. What's his name? The guy?
Robert Redford.
Anyway, I used to work with this guy who was a horse whisperer. He didn't look a bit like Robert Redford. He was actually from Holland. He was had been a Dutch Royal Marine. Tough as old boots he was. But I would sometimes join him, and we would do these horses together. My main job was following the horse with a shovel, basically. anyway, sometimes we had to be there pretty early in the morning. And if we started very early, on some mornings, the mist was so thick, and this was the hottest time of the year, the mist was so thick that we had to use the windscreen wipers on our car. And this was in the height of summer. And this is what is known, this phenomenon that I've described up at Telgebet Jamala and also down in the Negev, is common throughout Israel, and it's known in the Bible, in your Bible, as Jew. D-E-W, not J-E-W. Dew. Which is actually a mistranslation. The Jew that we know of comes in the more or less the coldest time of the year, and it sort of settles on the grass. And there's a lot of rain and snow around anyway, so it's pretty useless stuff. But what I'm referring to is a Jew, is something else entirely. And before I get to that, I really need to talk a little bit about the seasons in Israel. Now, I know Joy knows all about them, and one or two others. But what happens in Israel is you have the dry period and you have the wet period. And if the lady on the laptop would like to turn to Joel 2, verse 23. Now, it says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain for faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Basically what happens is you've got a sort of mid, late November, it buckets for quite a long time. And then you get a bit of a lull, that's the former rain. And then round about in the spring, you get the latter rain, and it also buckets. And when I was on the kibbutz, the tractor drivers are always busting themselves to get the ground ploughed and worked, and then the seed in before, because they knew that just about a week after Passover, the rain was going to come absolutely bucketing down. You wouldn't be able to work for a little while, but anyway, all the work would be done, and that would be then ready. You just sort of wait for the harvest after that. So, and then after that, you've got this great long period until mid to late November, when there's absolutely no rain at all. Okay, you get a little bit, but basically there's no rain at all in that period. So you've got the rainy season and you've got the dry season. Now the dry season can be very dry and very hot indeed. And there, for 50 days of the year, there's a hot wind that comes in from the desert, and it stuffs most of it up your nostrils and in your eyes. And I used to work, well, when I was on Kibbutz Tzorah, the first kibbutz I was talking about, as you all know, I used to work with sheep, and I used to milk sheep. Yes. Okay, part of it was taking them out to pasture, and part of it was milking the things. And if you can imagine the scene, it's the Ham scene. Okay? I better explain. It's sometimes, I think in the West, it's known as the Sirocco. It's called Yamei Sharav, which is the Hebrew for the time. Ham scene is what the Arabs call it, and that is the Arab word for 50, because 50 years, 50 days of the year, this wind comes in. So imagine, you are milking these sheep, and you're down in this pit. Okay, there's a long pit like this to about here. And imagine sheep, boom, 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 sheep, and sheep. And first of all, you are not very happy because it's the Hamsin, and you've got half the desert up your nostrils. The sheep also are not very happy because it's the Hamsin, and it affects them as well. And you're trying to milk them, and you're down here, very vulnerable, and you've got these sheep hooves and everything. And they get angry, which makes you angry, which makes them, and it can be very explosive. And in some Arab countries, it is not a capital offence to commit murder during the Hamsin. So, just as you're... But Arthur, I've mentioned Arthur before, he was the Israeli para that I used to work with. He was... Just as I was about to hit one of them, he'd say, "Hey, never hit the sheep. What you do is you put down the milking machine, just turn around, and you walk away, go outside, grab a stick, and you hit you hit the wall and you scream. Do that for a minute or two, and then you come back and you carry on with your milking. And that's what the Khamseen is like. It is pretty dreadful. And just a few scriptures about this, where are we? Well, there are some good ones. Job 27, verse 21. It's referred to in the Bible as the east wind. The east wind carries him off and he is gone. It sweeps him out of his place. It hurls himself against him without mercy as he flees headlong from his power. And Jeremiah 18, verse 17. Jeremiah 18, verse 17. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. And then Hosea 13, verse 15. Even though he thrives among his brothers, an east wind from the Lord will come, blowing in from the desert. His spring will fail and his well dry up. His storehouse will be plundered of all its treasures. So as I say, you've got the rainy season in the winter. You've got the dry season between Passover and mid-November. And in that within that time, you've got the Khamseen, which is the worst time in the year. Now, the Khamseen is when most of the tar, the dew appears, because it is when there is absolutely no other moisture whatsoever that you get this dew. And in future, instead of calling it dew, I will call it the Hebrew name tal, because it is not dew as we know it. And what happens is, I think it's similar to Scotch mist. It sort of comes along, and it's, you know, Scotch mist isn't just a mist. Maybe am I correct in this?
Mm-hmm.
And it drenches everything in its path, and that is exactly what the tarl is. Comes on in early hours of the morning, drenches everything, and then it completely disappears.
It's as if the rain is forming on you and around you.
Exactly. That is exactly what the tarl is. And that's the time of the year when there's no rain at all.
It's called a ha, isn't it?
Huh?
It's called a ha.
That's it, yeah. So it's mentioned a few times in the Bible. If you'd like to turn to Genesis 27, verse 28... Abraham is blessing Isaac, and he says, God give you of the dew or the tarl of heaven. Okay. Because without that, most of the desert plants in the desert would not survive. Without this moisture coming regularly during the hot period, it would not survive. And actually, there's a few other scriptures. You don't have to turn to them all, but basically Deuteronomy 33, verse 13. And about Joseph, Moses said, may the Lord bless his land with a precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below. And then Proverbs 3, verse 2, the clouds drop down the dew. That's exactly what happens. The clouds come in and they drop down the dew. Proverbs 19, verse 12. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favour is like dew on the grass. So, I've read a book, well actually I've had this book for a very long time. It's called Peeps into Palestine by a fellow called... James Neal, and it was printed, I suppose, in the late 19th century, early 20th century, before, when people still believed in God. And And there's a lot of quite good insight into this Jew. And there are various characteristics this Jew has. Number one, it comes only in the hottest and driest season when there's no other moisture to be had. And I've already mentioned that. Number two, it comes only during the night where no man can work, and it does, so it doesn't interfere with anything you're trying to do. Three, it comes in such rich abundance as to far exceed the moisture deposited by any formation of dew, so it's much, there's much more concentrated than dew. It comes in such fine particles and moderate quantities as not even to hurt the gathered grain lying out on the open-air threshing floors. So even if you're in the middle of threshing and you've got the grain lying there, it's not, you know, if it rains on the grain, it ruins it, but the actual tile, the dew on it, doesn't do that. Its effects cease as soon as the sun is hot, and so it leaves no miasmic, what does miasmic mean? Or other injurious results behind. Whence it is called by Hosea the night mist which early goes away. So, this dew, as I say, is very, very important, and it comes when there is no other moisture about. If you would like to turn to Judges 6, verse 36, there's a very, I think you all know the scripture about Gideon and the fleece, but I'll read it. And I think you know the story, that the Midianites were coming in regularly, I think it was the Midianites, and they were, every time the Israelites would plant anything, they would, as soon as it came up, they would pinch it. And they did this every year. So God told Gideon, go and tell these Midianites, tell them to go. So Gideon didn't feel he was up to the job. So Gideon said, look, if this is you and you want me to do this, I would like to perform this test. So Judges 6, verse 36. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a woolen fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a whole bowl full of water, which is quite likely. Now verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night God did so, only the fleece was dry, all the ground was covered with dew. So there, that is a time where this tile is mentioned in the Bible. If you would like to turn to Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1. A song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, life forevermore. So how can dew be, or the tile, be compared to unity among God's people? I'll give you an example. A few years ago, I was going through a very traumatic experience. And my brother, who's a former, well, he is a believer like myself, and I were discussing it over the phone. And at the end of the conversation, my brother started to pray. We prayed, praying with each other over the phone. And he started praying. And I'll tell you the sensation that I felt. It was like, at the time, I sort of likened it to somebody cracking an egg on my head, like, and sort of going down like that, right to my shoulders. It wasn't quite like that. It was like, as I say, the analogy of dew is better. It sort of started there, and it sort of came down like that, and ended up on my shoulders. And it was an egg. It was total peace, complete peace descending on me. And that's the only way I can describe it. It was exactly the same effect as the tile has when it falls, and it provides refreshment and everything else. So there's a verse in Hosea 6 verse 4. Hosea 6 verse 4. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Now, I know there was a time in the church when we used to teach that Britain was the sea frame. Now, I happen to believe it is, but I mean, that's not the point of this. The point is that Britain stood alone when there was nobody else around. The Americans were at the other side of the Atlantic. Everything else in Europe had been conquered. Britain stood alone. They were the tar. They were just the only thing left. But as soon as the war was over, I think possibly with the exception of the Queen Mother, God was never even mentioned. You know, I don't think God has been mentioned in polite society since then. So, well, very, very, very seldom. So our love, we were there when it was needed, but as soon as the crisis was over, that was it. And that's the case in too many lives. Whether we are Ephraim or not is neither here nor there. It certainly applies to us in this case. But going back, we need to go back quite a long way now to before the Garden of Eden, really. And thank you for bringing it up. Genesis 2, verse 4. And dew is mentioned in the Garden of Eden. The tar, that is. Genesis 2, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, which is exactly what happens when the night mist comes and waters everything. Now, how does this all apply to us? Now, the Wales is quite dry spiritually, and each one of us is like a drop of tar. And when we settle, if we have God's Spirit in us, we are providing refreshment. We are providing life, if you like, an example of God's way of life. And obviously, there will be times. There have been times when it's been raining God's Spirit, and it will be in the future. But right now, it's very sparse. We are, in one sense, we are in the Hamsin, spiritually. But during the Hamsin, to say the mist is still coming up, and we can regard ourselves if we have God's Spirit in us as part of that mist, part of that dew that falls and refreshes. And I say, we attend another fellowship up in Abercomboy, and their main function is every Friday night, without fail, for the last 16, 17 years, they have gone down to Cardiff and ministered to the street people on the streets. And it's very little, and they have been the TAL in that area every Friday evening for 17 years. And in our own, either collectively or individually, we can all do the same with the help of God's Spirit. And I'll leave you with that.
Yeah.